thou, O great mountain. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
In our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed Jesus. In Jesus' name we worship. In Jesus' name we worship. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, choir. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How has a week been? I hope it's been wonderful. Hallelujah. On Sunday, we started out on how to spice up your love life, and tonight we are going to just continue and finish it up. This is a very interesting topic, because most of us, is either we are in love, or we're about to fall in love, or we are already married. One way or the other, we have something to do and something to learn in our love life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so tonight, we will just begin again, just to refresh those of us that weren't around on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." In verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 32, he says, "For this curse, a man leave his father, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And I said on Sunday, I said, if you can understand these few scriptures I just read to you, you wouldn't have issues, because those are the instructions communicated to us through the Holy Spirit about relationship, about love life, and about marriage. And I said on Sunday, I said, when you want to make a stew, for example, you will get all the ingredients, right? You get all the ingredients together, and then once you have all the ingredients complete, what are you going to have at the end of the day? You are going to have your stew, or whatever you are planning to cook. The same way, if you are not able to find enough ingredients, or the right ingredients, you discover that you eventually don't get, you know, the result or whatever you want at the end of the day. So it's important that we look at the ingredients that will spice up our love life, our marriage, our relationship. And whichever stage we are in, whether we are single or married, we are going to look at these things tonight, and it's going to help us. The word ingredients, we're going to look at the acronyms one by one, letter by letter, to explain, you know, what makes up the ingredients that we need in our relationship, in our love life, or in our marriage. And so the first letter in the word ingredient is what? It's I. Are you with me? And so that, I said, that stands for integration. Are you both properly integrated in the body of Christ? As simple as that may sound, it becomes a foundation for any successful relationship or marriage. Any relationship or marriage that will be successful, that will last, that will stand the test of time, has to be integrated in the body of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And that scripture gives us in a very succinct way that we are supposed to fraternize with fellow believers and not unbelievers. The moment you get outside the body of Christ, the moment the Israelites begin to relate with the Philistine, a problem will arise because there is no proper integration. And so the scripture asks us a question that it wants you to answer. That what fellowship do you think righteousness will have with unrighteousness? So there's nothing like saying stuff like, well, he's not born again, but he's nice. You see, it's not about being nice. It's about having the fear of God. And the fear of God can never be in you unless you have a relationship with Jesus. It is the relationship you have with God, with Jesus, that guarantees the fear of the Lord in your life. It is the fear of the Lord that will make you to be faithful in marriage. It is the fear of the Lord that will make a man refuse to get distracted and look outside and start, you know, to run after other girls aside from his wife. It is the fear of God that is founded on a deliberate relationship with God that will prevent you from messing around. Is somebody with me tonight? In 2 Corinthians 6:14 Amplified Version, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them that is inconsistent with your faith. The moment you know that a particular person's lifestyle is not consistent with your faith, is outside of the operations of the faith of God, then you should run for your life. He says, for what partnership have right standing with God with iniquity? What partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? I read one more translation in 2 Corinthians 6:14 Message translation. He said, don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That is not partnership. That is war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? And the scripture is asking you all these questions because it wants you to answer it. So that when you want to fall in love, you have to be careful who you fall in love with. You don't want to fall in love with the wrong person. You don't want to fall in love with somebody who is not in love with God. You don't want to fall in love with somebody who is not in love with God's word. You don't want to fall in love with somebody who doesn't have the fear of God. He may be handsome. If he doesn't have the fear of God, it is not worth it. He may have a lot of money. He may be wealthy. He may have businesses. He may have international connections. If it doesn't have God, it is not worth it. Drum that into your ears. Let it settle in your heart that as a child of God, you have nothing doing with an unbeliever. He may sound very nice. He may look very gentle. He may be handsome, tall, and dark, or dark, tall, and handsome, TDH. Whichever way you want to look at it, if it doesn't have the fear of God, it is not worth it. He may know how to strike the right chords in you. He may know the right words, the right conversations. She may know how to just be homely and how to cook and how to take care of you. If he or she doesn't have the fear of God, I'd like you to speak to your legs and run from such relationships. Is somebody with me tonight? I said, are you with me tonight? Proverbs 29:27 in the Message translation. It says, good people can't stand the sight of deliberate evil, and the wicked cannot stand the sight of well-chosen goodness. So we see that the first thing here in the word ingredient is I. And I said that stands for integration. Whoever you want to fall in love with, make sure that person is integrated in the body of Christ. Make sure he's identified with the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure he has accepted Jesus Christ into his life as his Lord and his personal Savior. That is how to guarantee the foundation for a successful relationship. Now, by no means am I saying that if somebody is born again, that automatically means the person is going to be a very good husband or is going to be a very good wife. No, that does not really guarantee it. Is somebody with me? What makes marriage or relationship work is that the two people involved, they work at it. That is why oftentimes you will see a couple, they are not born again, they don't have the fear of God, but somehow their marriage seems to be working. It is because they worked at it. Is somebody with me? However, in such scenarios, you will see that there are areas where there are lapses because the fear of God is not there as a foundation. So the moment the two of you have the fear of God, you are born again, you are children of God. It is the best foundation you can ever have with anybody you are contemplating to go into a relationship with. And so the next thing is now for the two of you to apply wisdom and work at your relationship or marriage as the case may be. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you still with me tonight? Glory to God. All right, the next letter is letter N, and I said that means nurturing. Do you have mentors? Are you being nurtured? Be careful of the guy or the lady who doesn't have a mentor. Be careful of the guy who says he does not need a mentor. Be careful of such people. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's what? There's what? Are you here tonight? There's what? There's safety. In the Message translation, it says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. There's a good purpose. There's a good plan. There's a wonderful blueprint. Everything is well laid out. But without counsel, they are often disappointed. But he said in a multitude of counselors, they are what? They are established. It's not enough to have plans. It's good enough to have a mentor, somebody that speaks into your life and you draw wisdom from, so that which you have planned will be established. In Proverbs 15:22, Message translation, it says, refuse good advice and watch your plans fall. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. You see, counsel is good because there are people around you who have done what you are trying to do. If somebody has done what you are trying to do 10 times over, then you need to speak to that person so that you can get wisdom from that person. Is somebody with me? Your hormones are not enough. Let me whisper to a neighbor beside you, your hormones are not enough. Because some people think the moment they have some hormonal rush, that means it's all they want, it's all they need, it's all they want to have. But that is not the way it is. Hallelujah. Then the next one, the next letter in the word ingredient is letter G. And that talks about goals. What is my purpose? What is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? Are you with me? What purpose are you, have you discovered? And what purpose has he discovered? It's very important. Because without finding out your purpose, you are not even ready for a marriage. You are not ready for a relationship. The first thing God gave Adam was work. He had work before he had wife. Are you with me? A woman, a wife, is the word helpmeet. meaning that she's coming to help you out in doing something. So the question for the guy is, what is she coming to help you achieve? So it is important for every man, every woman to find out his purpose or her purpose, God's purpose for your life. What is the purpose of that relationship you want to get into? Why are you coming together? Is it because you saw yourself and there's body chemistry? It is after you start, you discover that chemistry alone is not enough. You also need agriculture and some other things. Hallelujah to Jesus. So body chemistry is not the only thing. Say, the moment we sat together in the taxi, there was this connection. Say, that's all. Say, that's all. That connection is the only thing I need. No, that's not the only thing you need. Because after marriage, there are a lot of things you're going to discover. Especially those of you that are moved by feelings. So why do you love that? I have a feeling for him. Why are you going out with that? I have a feeling for her. The feeling I have for him is special. The feeling I have for her is special. Well, let me shock you a little bit, because after marriage, even sometimes while you are in your courtship, you discover that feelings go, feelings disappear. There are times you wake up in the morning, you look at your spouse, and there are no feelings anywhere. What do you do? Are you going to go and divorce? So you see, you cannot base your decision on feelings alone, because feelings are fickle. Feelings can disappear anytime. They don't last. They don't have a forever status. Are you with me? Feelings, you must move away from feelings to commitment. Commitment. I am committed to this person. And so the next letter is letter what? Letter R. And that stands for release. Let me tell somebody beside you, release the past. Release the past. Let go. Don't hold on to the past. Nobody can drive forward looking at the rear mirror. That person will have a destiny accident. You have to let go of where you have been, what you have gone through, the abuse of the past, the pains of growing up, the unforgiving spirit you got yourself into while you are growing up with somebody who offended you and hurt you badly and you couldn't let go. So you have to release the past. In Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18, he says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. You see, there's a difference between remembering something and considering. Remembering is when it comes like a flash. Considering is when you sit down to think about it. So he says, do not remember them and don't consider them. Are you with me? Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about how you couldn't complete school. Stop thinking about how you lost a particular job. Stop thinking about some negative things that happened in your past. What has happened in your past does not define your future. Because even God does not consult your past to determine your future. Whatever happened yesterday is in the past. You need to get out of the doldrum of yesterday and get the reality of your future. Is somebody with me tonight? If you keep on holding to the past, you won't be able to move into your destiny. Destiny requires you pressing forward, stretching forth, and going forward, and forgetting those things that are in the past. In the Message translation of Isaiah 43:18, it says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Leave the history class, people of God. Are you with me tonight? Leave the history class and move to something else. Stop going over them. The person that jilted you 2 years ago, forget about that person. The person that abused you when you were 4 years old, forget about it. The person that raped you when you are 11 and a half years old, forget about it. The person that cheated you and you are still paying that, if they give you a gun, you will still shoot that person. Forget about the past so that you can move into the reality of your future. In Isaiah 43:19, it tells us why he's saying we should forget the past and refuse to consider the things of old. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, God is about to do a new thing in your life. Preach to somebody beside you a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. He says, now it shall spring forth. Can you hear me tell somebody now?
Now, this is why you need to quickly forget about the past and let it go. Are you with me? Somebody says, Pastor, you do understand, everything has been so slow for me. It's as if I'm in slow motion. Everything has been so slow, so draggy, things are not moving. You know, sometimes it's because of where you are going that things are like that. Is somebody with me? There is this parable of vehicles. And there was this trailer that was traveling on the road, on the express road. And several cars started overtaking the trailer. The Mercedes-Benz, in all its glory and its beauty, sped past the trailer. Just went and left the trailer behind. And the trailer shook its head and said, wow, this one has passed me again. What is wrong with my life? And then the Toyota Prado SUV just moved past. And the trailer, you know, shakes its head again and said, I don't know whether I will ever make it in life. Why are people passing me by and I seem to just be going, kek. You know how the trailer moves, kek. Slowly on the road and on the express as if it's not making progress. And another car sped past, just keep going and all of that. Finally, the trailer got to a particular place and parked, only to discover that all the cars that sped past it were waiting for it. Why? Because the trailer was carrying the fuel they are all going to need. Are you with me tonight? Help me tell your neighbor you are carrying something. That is why. You are a container with a content. It is when there's nothing you carry that you can, when you carry something, it's heavy. Hello somebody. Tell your neighbor you carry something. Hallelujah. Never envy anybody. You look at somebody who already had 3 children and you are not even in a relationship yet. You are just pregnant of a marriage. See, but you never see a pregnant woman envying a woman with children. Never. Because it knows you may be having yours in reality. I'm carrying mine on my inside. And one day the gestation period will be complete and the baby will come forth. The moment the gestation period is over, the baby has no choice. The baby, without anybody informing the baby, without going to any class, without any teacher, without any doctor, will turn in the direction, getting ready to move out. Am I talking to somebody? I'm like the midwife tonight, and I stand before you to tell you that your baby is about to come forth. Can somebody shout hallelujah in this house? You have your own car. I have mine inside. Both of us are carrying something. You are driving your own in reality. I'm driving my own inside. It's a matter of time. Am I talking to somebody? The jungle will soon mature. And we'll go. Shout hallelujah! I don't envy anybody. It's a matter of time. Tell your neighbor it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. You've signed your own wedding certificate. I'm signing mine on my inside. And it's a matter of time. Hallelujah to Jesus. Those people that married today were once single. People that are driving cars today were once trekking. Or did you see anybody that came, that the moment they gave birth to that person, they bought a car? I know they were. That means there's hope for you. Somebody's testimony is your prophecy. Am I talking to somebody in this house? It's not time to give up. It's time to fire up and trust God for the new that is about to do in your life. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold means ponder, see, look. Take a look. Tell your neighbor, open your eyes and look at it. Tell your neighbor, can you see the new? He says, now it shall spring forth. I like the word spring forth because the word spring forth suggests the idea that it's not growing out slowly. It's not something that has been happening. Have you ever planted a corn seed or a bean seed before? And the next day you go check it and there's nothing. I say, What's going on there? Second day, you go check it, there's nothing. And one of those days, you wake up, the thing has sprung forth. Are you with me? Every time you've been praying in the Spirit, every time you've been giving your seed, every time you've been serving God, every time you've been taking confession, it looks as if nothing is happening. But underneath the soil of your destiny, things are moving. They are arranging themselves. Then in a moment, the Bible says, it shall spring forth. It will come suddenly. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, suddenly the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, suddenly. You know God is a suddenly God. If God says, I want to give you a car, God would not first of all give you two tires and then give you the steering of the car and then say, take the door of the car and then say, take the steering and then take the windscreen. Is that how God gives you a car? No. It will just come, bam. Tell your neighbor, bam. The blessings of God, I like to describe it like this. It's not an Indominus blessing. It's a pounded yam blessing. It just comes, bam. Tell your neighbor, bam. Bim. Oh my God. You need to get ready, people of God. It's not an Indominus blessing. Imagine you go to your friend's house and you are so hungry. You are so hungry, you really want to eat. You've been famished in the day. And you know, if I can just get to my friend's house, I know he's going to get me some food. And then you get to your friend's house and you say, you know what, I'm so, so hungry. And your friend says, don't worry. You're hungry, I'm going to get you some real food. And you want your friend to do something quick, but he gets into the kitchen. 1 hour later, nothing has happened. You say, oh my God, this friend must really hate me. What is going on here? Don't you have Indomie noodles? Don't you have something I can quickly eat? Don't you have something I can quickly prepare? But your friend says, you've got to wait a little while. Hallelujah to Jesus. In a moment of time, you had your friend pounding yam. I say, oh my God, how long is this going to take? Pounding yam? Oh my God. And after he's done pounding the yam, and then you expect him to serve the pounded yam and that stew, you know, that vegetable stew, the type that you cannot find the stew by reason of the meat and the shaki and all the... And then he starts cooking the stew, the vegetable stew. Say, when is this thing going to be ready? I'm hungry. And your friend says, hold on a little bit, hold on, hold on. And then you know how the vegetable stew is getting ready to get ready. And then the aroma begins to fill the air. And then your hope comes alive because you know something is about to happen. Because the aroma begins to circulate in the atmosphere. I stand by the kitchen of heaven tonight. I can perceive some aroma. Some things God is cooking for you. Am I talking to somebody in this house? Is cooking something for you. Hallelujah! It's not an Indominus blessing. It's not, God is not going to give you a car that is a jalopy. What's the point of God giving you a car and then the following day say God has given you a car? All my neighbors come, will come and help me to push the car. That's not God. A car that doesn't have trafficator. I have to put your hand outside. Yo, Duro. Like some people from where some of you came from. Praise God. Those cars that have no brake. Yeah? You almost want to bring your leg out to shove the floor to stop the car. That's not what God is cooking for you. The Bible says, I will do a new thing. Tell your neighbor, this is not a Tokumbo blessing. Some people are, you are so used to Tokumbo things. Tokumbo shirts, Tokumbo trousers, Tokumbo hairstyle, Tokumbo husband. He says, now it shall spring forth. There's no warning about it. There's no indication. Nothing is showing that something's about to happen. Everything looks so dry. Everything looks so deserted. I can't see any sign. I can't see anything. All I know is that I'm praying. I'm confessing. I'm praying. I'm believing. I'm sowing my seed, but I can't see nothing. But in a moment of time, the Bible says, now it shall spring forth out of the dry ground. He says, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. and rivers in the desert. Look at the Message translation. It says, be alert, be present. Tell your neighbor, be alert. This is not the time to be absent in church. Be alert, be present, be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's not Tokumbo. After all these years of suffering, it's not Tokumbo. It's brand new. Tell your neighbor, it's brand new. A brand new blessing. A brand new favor. Oh my God. Don't you see it? Tell your neighbor, don't you see it? What are you seeing? There it is. That's what the Bible says. Tell your neighbor, there it is. Somebody says, it's been a while. You've been sick. When are you getting married? There it is. Don't you see it? I'm blind. So you don't have a job yet. You are not working yet. Don't you see it? I don't like talking to blind people. If you need some eyeglasses, go get it. Those kind of lens that are like Coca-Cola, go get it. Is somebody with me? Don't you see it? You know, sometimes when your future is too bright, so people can see, you look at it. So you give them a sunshade. Take a look. Can you see now? Hallelujah! So he says, let the past go so I can do the new. Because the old is an enemy of the new. The old is something new. Old thoughts, old experiences. So when you go share your dreams and your aspirations with drunk people, and say, this is what I want to do, then they start advising you based on experience. They said, no, it's not going to be possible. I tried that 25 years ago. It didn't work out. Leave that dream. You can't achieve it. So you have to be careful with the kind of people you share your dreams with. You don't share a 20 by 20 dream with somebody whose mind is 3 by 3. You are going to blow the fuse of his mind. You want to buy a car, you are seeking advice from somebody that all he's bought in his life is bicycle. He will advise you based on the spoke of the bicycle. But that's all he knows. Are you still with me? Something new. Apostle Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 2. He says, receive us. We have wronged no man. How can Apostle Paul say that? Apostle Paul of all people, you have wronged no man. You? I know your history, Apostle Paul. Killing Christians all over the place. Going around towns and cities and states arresting born again Christians and handing them over to be stoned. And you are saying here, receive me. I have wronged no man. Ah! Emma Parosa. Role Pasa. We have corrupted no man. Eh? We have Apostle Paul. But the man was operating from the perspective of the scripture. That if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Glory! Hallelujah! He is a new creature. I love the word creature. It didn't say he's a new human being. When you see some, an animal or something you've not seen before, what do you call it? Say, did you see that creature? You see, a particular translation says, a species that has never existed before. That is what you become when you give your life to Jesus. And when you appear before God, you appear before Him like you have never committed any kind of sin before. The blood of Jesus wipes it away. And God says, your iniquity will I remember no more. So when you go back to God and say, God, forgive me what I did 3 years ago. God opens his records. I can't find it here. What are you talking about? Your iniquities will I remember no more. It's gone. down into oblivion. So Apostle Paul was bold. A former murderer, killer, arresting people. Somebody you will look and say, this one is going to hell. I have wronged no man. People of God, if you are in Christ, you have wronged no man. And no man has wronged you. Let go. Release the pain. Every time you hold somebody in unforgiveness, you discover that you are holding yourself in prison. And when you let go of that person, you become free. Glory to God. The next letter is letter E, and that talks of endearment. Spicing up your love life, there has to be endearment. Is there a connection between the two of you? Is there a physical attraction? There must be a physical attraction. Don't come around and tell me God said he's my husband and I hate him, but because God said, there's nothing like that, people of God. You better make sure you are involved with somebody you love. Hallelujah. You don't want to wake up 2 days after your wedding, early in the morning, you have forgotten that you are married. You look at his face, see the blood of Jesus. Then you remember, okay, I'm married. You want to look at somebody's face and say, Mare no momo shalama. When I look at my wife's face in the morning, I speak in tongues. The tongues flow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. If you are still single, look into your Bible. And let the tongue flow. Look into your Bible. If you are still single, look into your what? Your Bible. Read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Fall in love with the word. Then when you have passed that test, then the real person will show up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There must be physical attraction. Don't come so spiritual without your big Bible under your armpit and then don't share the spirit of God to my spirit that you are my spouse. So what? Don't spiritualize anything here. Use spirituality to toast somebody because you are the HOD. You corner her after service. You say, come. The Spirit of God has ministered to me. He said, you are my wife. And I'm just warning you because this is of the Lord. If by reason of refusal or rejection, you can undermine and destroy your destiny in the process of saying no, I'm just warning you because God said that is spiritual manipulation. That is why they often tell those campus executives not to propose to anybody during their office. Because when you use office to propose, use presidential office. Like somebody pasted on Facebook, I saw, he said, the president of the fellowship that did not propose to the sister coordinator, is that one really a president? Is that one really a president? Maybe it's just prayer. That's what people do now. The president and his sister call. Hallelujah. So there must be physical attraction. As spiritual as I was, there was physical attraction between me and my wife. I didn't just say the Spirit of God has shown me. No. I had to love her. I had to like her. If I don't like her, I will suddenly tell God, I say, God, these dreams you are showing me, I don't like this dream. But I was enjoying those dreams. I was looking for the dreams were just called. I said, God, this is beautiful, because what I'm seeing is beautiful. If you are dreaming, for example, and you are seeing something that is you don't like, you have to bind that dream. Say in the name of Jesus, every satanic dream, Allah, Allah, be seeing somebody you don't like. Hallelujah. So there must be physical attraction. A person must, he must, there has to be a connection. Because marriage is lived on earth. Marriage is made in heaven, but it's lived on the planet earth. Between two real people. And you have to love yourselves. Because there will be so many issues, so many differences, so many different opinions, different temperaments, that it will take the love of God as a foundation to hold your marriage together. So with all the physical differences and temperamental differences and opinionated differences, now coupled with physical distraction, not attraction now. It will take God to wake up every morning to keep marriage to the Lord. Why did I rush into this marriage? That 10 years after marriage, you're asking. Why did I rush? Are you with me? So somebody you love. It's not a sin to love somebody. It becomes a sin when you are trying to consummate the love outside of marriage. It's not a sin to have a crush on someone as long as you're of age. If you are below 21, have a crush with your Bible, please, people of God. Crush with your Bible. Have a crush with Jesus. Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, embrace me. Holy Spirit, wrap me up. Hear this. You worship God. When you have marriageable age, beautiful. Have a crush on somebody, it's good. But as a lady, don't ask a guy out. Wait for the guy to take the first step. Hallelujah. Amen to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell your neighbor, you will not shimari. Bad English, good prayer. Then the next letter is letter D, right? And that stands for direction. Where are you going? That's the question. Where are you going? We need that, and we need the answer to that question in order to spice up your love life. Where are you going in life? What is your direction? Before you get a life partner, you have to get a life first. There's no point looking for a life partner without getting a life. And in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, call unto me. That is God speaking. Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. The reality is that there are a lot of things you don't know. And God says, I want you to call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will show thee the direction that I want you to go. I will show you where I want you to go in life. The next letter is letter I, and that means involving. Involving. Is there constant communication? Are you really involved? If you say you are in love with somebody, how often do you communicate? If your communication is once in 3 weeks, I'm sorry, you are not in love. You are just in social media together. Am I talking to somebody? When you are in love with somebody, you will communicate so much that your phone will complain. Your phone will complain. Do something else with this thing. See, because communication is the live wire of any successful relationship or marriage. If you see a couple that have problems, they are not talking. That's why I tell people, if you're married, make sure you are talking. Even when you have disagreement or quarrel, make sure you are talking. Because there are times you will annoy each other. It's normal. As long as a human being and both of you are thinking, if one of you is not thinking, then it's possible not to have quarrel forever, for life. But if both of you are thinking, both of you have minds, there will be disagreement. But you must learn to keep on talking. And this is what I do with my wife. We keep on talking. Because if you keep on talking, strife will not have an inroad into your life. Strife is built on the platform of silence and ignoring each other. The moment you are silent and you ignore each other, assumptions will come from the devil. An assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. So what do? You keep on talking. I'm annoyed with you, but what am I eating tonight? I don't like what you did in the morning. It's bread and stew. See, that thing you did, don't do it again. But I don't want stew, I want egg. See, keep on talking. Keep on talking. I really don't like what you did. The next thing, I'm really pissed off with you. Can I serve your food now? Please, what you did that morning, don't do it again. Serve my food. The way you talked to me in the morning, it was bad. Can I serve the food together in one plate? Serve together in one plate. I'm still angry with you, but at least I'll be looking at your face when I'm eating. I will serve the food in one plate, but don't look at my face. This is not my real face, so I'm really angry. She will laugh, and that's the end of the quarrel. It's so simple. It's so simple. Praise the Lord. But the moment you keep quiet, you say, what happened? Nothing. What happened to you? Nothing. Kilo ye? Kosi. She mo share ni? No. How do you enjoy it? Especially ladies. If I catch a guy that does that thing, if I catch a guy or a man or a husband that does that thing, your wife will ask you, what happened? Say, nothing. They should beat you up. But ladies are the ones that do it. What's happening? Nothing. I'm just asking because I see that you're counting. I said nothing. So the guy goes. 3 hours later, you saw my face like that, you left me alone. Ha! I was asking you that, what happened? You said nothing. So because I said nothing, you now think there's nothing, and you now left me alone because there's nothing. Hallelujah. So you don't allow issues to degenerate to a point where you stop talking. Just keep on talking. Keep the communication on. Pastor, my fiance is in US. When last did you speak? 3 weeks ago. You don't have fiance. You just have a social media friend. That's all. 3 weeks ago. I said, what did he say? Why did he call? He said he was busy. Busy. He's probably frolicking with somebody else over there. Forget about it. Don't waste your time. If you're in love with somebody, your heart will be there. You will talk with that person every time. You do Facebook, Apple Time, Apple Face, FaceTime, WhatsApp, Telegram. You do everything. The moment you finish talking on phone, then you start chatting. Because you are in love. How can you say you're in love with somebody that you spoke last 2 months ago? Stop fooling yourself. You are not in love. So forget about it. Tell your neighbor, forget about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which letter are we now? The next letter is letter E. And that means enlightenment. Keep yourself informed. Keep yourself informed. Read books. Read what? Read books. Study to show yourself approved. Study. Read. Read books. Read books about love languages by Gary Chapman. Read books on communication. Read books on temperament by Tim LaHaye. Get those books and read them. And stop wasting your precious time on WhatsApp group posting nonsense. Read books. And don't let social media be a distraction. Are you with me? There's a book that says, Men are from Mars Women Are From Venus. Go and read it. Tells you that when you start a relationship, you are going to be different. You are not from the same planet. The way you think, different. It's different. Hallelujah. And if you don't understand that perspective, the man will feel, why are you disrespecting me? You are not submitting. You are not married yet. Oh. You are already crying, submit. You are not submit. You must submit. Submit. Is he in the examination hall? Submission should never be demanded. Headship of the house should never be declared. Don't you know I'm the head of this house? You just lost it. We don't need an announcement. Hallelujah. So, read books and understand women and men. It's going to help you. The next letter is letter N. And that talks about nourishment. Nourishment. In Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. Tell your neighbor, when last did you eat God's word? Thy words were found and I did eat them. Visualize opening the Bible and just taking it and devouring it. Okay. Because the art of meditation is likened to the art of eating something, take it down and then regurgitate it. Bring it out and then start chewing them, taking your time, chewing them and breaking it down. That's what you do when you study God's word. You are eating it. And it says, your word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. In John chapter 6 verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I don't care how many agege bread you have eaten. If you have not eaten the bread of life, you are wasting time. Hello somebody. See, there's this Shoprite bread. Have you eaten it before? Have you eaten the bread of life? That's the cuckoo. Are you with me? If he comes asking you out and say, I so much love you, you are the chicken in my pot of stew, you are the cockroach in my cupboard, you are the sugar in my tea, you are the Milo in my cupboard, you are the say, have you eaten bread this morning? Have you eaten the bread of life? Have you read your Bible? Because this way you are running your mouth. It doesn't look like you've been with God. The next letter is letter T. And that talks about timing. Timing. Do not rush into a relationship, people of God. Especially those of you that are still young. I'm not talking to people that are below 24. Sorry, I'm not talking to people that are above 24. If you are below 21, do not rush into a relationship. Take your time. Don't be too much in a hurry. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, you have to learn to take your time. If a relationship is broken, wait for at least 6 months before you get into another one. In order that you might have the proper healing experience before you jump into another one. Hallelujah. And lastly, the word S means sin free. If you want to spice up your relationship, your marriage, you want to have a good time, you have to live a sin free life. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. It says, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 107 verse 34, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The land was fruitful before, but in the moment of time, it morphs into a land of barrenness because of the wickedness and the unrighteousness of the people. I'm here to challenge you tonight. If you want to spice up your relationship and your marriage, if you want to have a good experience, a beautiful courtship transiting into marriage, a wonderful time in God, that your courtship and your marriage is surrounded by God's grace and God's favor, that everything works out together for you, and that things fall in place for you. Your wedding plans, your honeymoon and all of those plans, everything falling into place. You have to stay away from iniquity. You have to stay away from the bond of iniquity. You have to stay away from every form of compromise. And you can do it because the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over us. Message translation says sin will not lord it over us again. The Bible says when Jesus dealt with sin issue, the Bible says he handled it once and for all. That he took it by the jugular and broke it, destroyed it, nullified it completely, wiped it away. It was a one and for all solution to the issue of sin. In other words, we have no excuse to be going back and forth, rising up and down every day. Because the moment we do that, we begin to tamper with the plans of God for our life. We begin to truncate the beautiful things that God has laid out. We begin to mess up the favor that God has outlined for us. We begin to open the door for the devil to afflict and to come in. You have to stay away from sin. You have to stay away from habitual sins. The sin that does so easily beset you, you have to deal with it. You have to confront it. You have to say, you know what? You are not going to kill me. You are not going to destroy my destiny. You have to confront it. It is in that vein. It is in that vein that Apostle Paul said, I put my body under. He said, lest I become a castaway. I put my body under. I put it under. Because the body wants to see spirit. The body wants to take a sense of a child of God. You discover that you are from. So the body tells you, I feel like having sex. Spirit tells you that no. Flee vision. So it's either you allow the body to or it's the body go under. Go on. You can't dictate my life. You can't not give direction for my life. So you pray in the Holy Ghost. You confess God's word. And as you do that, your spirit man receives strength. He said that we might be strengthened with might that Christ in our hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in our heart by faith. We might be strengthened. So as you do it, your inner man receives strength and is able to tell the body to go under. It is also this reason why the Bible says, mortify ye the deeds of the flesh. The word mortify means to take to the mortuary. Take the works of the flesh and kill them. Crucify it. Take it to the mortuary. Because a dead man cannot fornicate. A dead man cannot sin. A dead man cannot lie. So you die to the flesh and you rise in God and in the spirit. Glory to God. I said glory to God. It's a decision you have to make. If you are ever going to succeed, if you are ever going to fulfill destiny. You see, sin is a stain on destiny. It messes things up. It causes chaos in the spirit realm. It tampers with the plans of God. A man can build a ministry, an organization for 20 years, and then he sins, adulterous sins, and everything will crash down because the devil will move in. The devil will move in. Take advantage of that. It's an accuser of the brethren. But the Bible says, walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stand upon your feet and pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.